guys really do sound pretty good from back there, even from the front probably too. Well, Brian, if you were here at the 9 o'clock, you saw he was in Jamaica, sunbathing on the beach. No, he's down there with Bob Weston. They're actually, him and Sam, I believe, are down there with him, and they're passing out the John and Romans that we have made here with Bob down there in Jamaica, so it was pretty good, and you really missed out on a good thing from Lauren this morning. I really appreciated that with Lauren. Is there any guests in the house today? I'm not the regular guy. I'm Jim Boyette. I'm one of the associate pastors. I actually watch over the facilities and things like that, so we do have a guest over here. They've got a bag for you with some Tootsie Rolls, as Brian likes to hand out. It's not my favorite candy, but it'll work. I think I'd rather have something else. But I appreciate you being here today. I hope that you enjoy it. I'm a little nervous about this message, but God gave me this actually almost a year ago. I think I was supposed to have done this almost a year ago for the Lord's Supper, and Randy took my place. I don't know the reason what happened. And then the last time I get bumped again was with James Fife, came and was here in town, and he spoke, and that was actually another time. So I've had this message for a little while, and been going through it in my head over and over, and hopefully, and I ask for your forgiveness if I offend anybody, but I hope that it'll reach your heart and it'll make you think. And really, that's what happened with me as I prepared for this message. Was God kind of convicted me of some things in my life and of my past a little bit too. And I just hopefully that you will take what we go through and you'll ponder it, kind of like Mary did with Jesus when she saw him preaching and or teaching in the synagogue. She pondered what he had done and kind of waited to see what God was doing. And I just asked the same of you, ponder it. I kept wondering how come I kept getting bumped to different Lord's Suppers until now and until Lauren spoke, actually. So this morning, because of Lauren, I kind of realized a little bit of my message kind of ties in with that. So that was maybe God had this all planned out. I think he does. And so let's pray, and we'll get started, and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks that have come. I just ask you to watch over us. Give us a good time in your word. We do ask for you to be with Brian and Sam as they're in Jamaica, and keep them safe. Bring them back, Lord. We do treasure him and Sam both. And I know Amy would love to have him back home. Lord, I just thank you for this body that you've put here in Harrisonville to be a testimony and a witness to those around us. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to allow us to do that and share the gospel as much as we possibly can. Lord, I just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is for the Lord's Supper. And one of the things in 1 Corinthians that it talks about, and that's not where we're going to go, but in 1 Corinthians 11, I think it's in verse 28 or so, it talks about examining yourself. And that's kind of where my message went to, was a little bit of an examination of myself. And hopefully you'll examine yourself too, a little bit of where you're at with the Lord. But I'm going to be in John chapter 21, if you want to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles there underneath the chairs, and that's on page 835. So I felt compelled to do that because everybody else that gets up here and preaches does that too. So I never had that help when I got saved, and nobody told me how to get into the Bible. I had to open up the pages and find everything. I do not have a PowerPoint. I'm not sophisticated enough to know how to operate that and make one up. I've tried in the past, and it's okay, but it's not the best in the world. This passage I've chosen, or God gave to me, as I've read through this thing, I don't know how many times in my lifetime as a saved person. I've heard it preached a lot of times, different ways. Brian, a lot of times, will, especially the first three or four verses there, when Christ asks Peter if he loves him, and he tells him to feed his sheep and feed the lambs. Brian uses it all the time to try to encourage us to go feed the lambs, especially the little kids, the little children like Lauren was doing over in India. That's an important part, to plant that seed in their life and get that there so that they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was not raised in church, didn't hear about the Lord Jesus Christ at all, really. From I think I remember my first VBS or Vacation Bible School when I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. And my vivid memory of that is some lady screaming in my face, telling me I needed Jesus, and man, I didn't want to go back to that ever again. So hopefully we don't do that here. But I'm going to read verse 15 on down to the end of the chapter. I'm not going to focus on the lamb, feeding the lambs part. There's just a couple verses here that God really kind of, when I went into it, had me study and look into. And so I'm going to encourage you to just bear with me on that. So in verse 15 it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep, or feed my lambs." I'm sorry. In verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know, by this time, I'd have been very frustrated with the Lord telling me over, asking me over and over again. It's kind of, I'm going to relate this in a way, but it's kind of like having your wife asking you, honey, will you fix this? And you don't fix it. Then she asks you again 3 days later, and you don't fix it. It kind of gets on me. My wife has learned over the years not to keep asking me. If she asks me, I kind of don't do it at all, and it may not get done for a year. So she's learned a little trick there. That sooner or later, I'm going to get it done. But I hope that, you know, Peter here, he's pretty grieved, it says. Then in verse 18, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betray thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And this is the disciple which testifieth these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And I wanted to focus on two verses pretty much, verse 18 and then verses 21. First of all, I'm going to hit with verse 21 there with Peter. And really, that's kind of where I focused on when I was studying this out. I don't know if God just kind of stirred me to go back and look at Peter. And Peter is this character in here that he is one of the apostles, and there are more verses about him in all the scripture than any of the other apostles. But yet he does some things that I find kind of interesting. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 14, the first time that I went through this in Matthew chapter 14, 14 verse 28. This is where Peter walks on the water. And I found it kind of interesting. Peter's always this guy that seems like he just says, I'll go, or do this, I'll do that, or whatever. He kind of steps out there and he always gets himself in trouble. He always gets a little zealous. But here in verse 28, it says in Peter, in Matthew 14 verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And one of the things I found interesting here, it's a lot like me. I remember when I first got saved, I was, man, my hand was up to do anything, go anywhere. I was pretty zealous, trusting the Lord, but I always seemed like I kind of stumbled somewhere along the way and fell. Much like Peter here, he started sinking. He got pretty zealous, and he fell on his face, basically fell in the water. But one thing I noticed here, Christ didn't ask him to come. Peter got ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter asked the Lord, said, hey, can I come out into the water? And it wasn't the right time. It may not have been the right time for him to come out. Maybe after he became, after he'd been with the Lord for 3 years, maybe he could walk on water. I don't know. But there is a period of time, I think all of us go through that, that we get a little anxious. We get a little like, man, I can go do this. I can do that. I made a lot of promises to the Lord when I got saved. I told him anytime he wanted me to speak, to share the gospel with somebody, I would be willing to do that. And here I am today. He held me to that, and he's never let that go. But and put me in places where I probably shouldn't have said some of the things I said, and I may say some things today that I probably shouldn't say, but I'm always good at that. But Peter, it just for me, was a good example. And sometimes we get ahead of what the Lord wants to do in our life. I needed to, just for me, for the first 3 years of my life, I needed to get discipled. I needed to get trained. I needed to find out where the book of John was at in the Bible. It wasn't until I'd been saved probably 3 or 4 years that we come across a church that took the time to disciple people, teach people the Word of God, and help me to find where the book of John was at. I mean, I grew up with no church, no Bible, no nothing, and I didn't know where the book of Genesis was, what to read, or any of that stuff. So it took me a while. So much like Peter, I feel like I got ahead of the Lord in a lot of different ways. And the next one, go over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This one here kind of got me. And would you hand me that bottle of water? I'm going to dry out here and I won't be able to say a word. No, the other one's open. This next one in the book of Matthew here, and a lot of you know it. I've read this thing a dozen times, and it always kind of made me kind of curious. I don't know exactly how to approach this, but it says there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, here he goes, he steps up, he says, and answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, and I say unto you, unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this charged he his disciples, and said they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So here Peter makes a good statement. He's right on the money. I mean, every one of us, if somebody came up to us and said, who is this Jesus Christ? You'd probably say, well, he's the Son of God, right? You'd probably answer, hey, he's the Lord from heaven. He's the King of the earth. And then the next verse, in verse 21, he says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and to be killed. And he be raised again the third day. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shalt not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou Savor us not the things that be of God, but those of men. And I thought, man, I'd really hate for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell me, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, that just makes me kind of cringe. You know, I don't want the Lord to tell me that, but he tells it to Peter. What's going on here? What's happening? I mean, I am sure, as I'm standing here, that I have probably had a pastor or somebody else say the same thing about me. And maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I don't know. But I looked into my life, and I know that I have not always been in line with what a pastor is wanting to do. And this made me think of a verse in the Old Testament. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. And this, one of the part of our discipleship lesson goes along with this verse, but this verse has been in my head for ever since the day I got discipled, I think, and since then it's just been something I remember. But it says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You know, here in Isaiah, God's telling us we don't always think the way God does. We don't always understand what God's trying to do. And I'm sure that's where Peter was at. Peter didn't know that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go on the cross and die for the sins of the world. He had to do that. Peter didn't understand that. And Peter was saying, well, you're not going to die, Lord. You're going to live forever. And in a Jewish mind, the way I was taught anyway, the Jewish mind's thinking that he's going to come, he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to reign here forever and never have to leave. But they didn't understand that he was the sacrificial lamb that had to be made for the sins of the world. He had to die. He had to come onto the cross. And there's been many times that I know I've sat in the pastor's meetings with Brian and all of us, and Brian is leading us a certain way, directing us a certain way. That's because of what the Lord showed him in the Word of God. Now, I don't always agree necessarily, but I found out that sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut and just see what God's going to do and wait for God to reveal things. You know, years ago, Brian had Dave Pierce over there in Kansas City, Kansas, had gotten interested in the Bhutanese, and Dave Pierce had wanted to become a missionary of the Bhutanese. And they made the trip over to Nepal and over in that area, the Bhutan, and came back, and Dave was all excited about going, but God changed that whole thing. Actually, God started bringing the Bhutanese to Kansas City, Kansas, and made it so that Dave didn't have to go anywhere, and changed the whole plan of things. By one reason, Brian went to I think it was a lawyer's office, am I right, if I remember right, and the lawyer had pictures of some Bhutanese on the wall, and Brian asked a question, and the connection was made as why we need to stay here in Kansas City, Kansas, and work with the Bhutanese there. We don't always know what God's thinking. Now, he's stirring Dave Pierce to go and do something, but he's bringing him back and keeping him here so that we can minister here. And a lot of you here became a part of that. You went over and you drove your car over there and let them drive your car, scare you half to death, because most of those people had never been in a car, let alone seen a car, and didn't know what the difference between a brake pedal and a gas pedal was. And fortunately, none of us died from that, so God protected us. But I just ask that you think about when the pastors of a church are leading and they're guiding you, hopefully in the right direction, according to the Word of God, that you take the time to listen to what they're saying. Pray for them that God will guide them and show them where they need to be. And then he'll guide us too. So many times in my life, I've been on mission trips. The guy leading the mission trip, I won't mention his name, but he's a good friend of mine. We went to El Salvador, got to the gate, going into through the custom agents. We had a suitcase, each of us, of discipleship material. We were going to go and take to, we went to like six different churches in San Salvador, El Salvador, and spent 2 weeks there. There were six of us guys. Everybody else made it through customs with their suitcase. The guy that was leading us left his suitcase back in customs. And he had to, Julio Contreras, the pastor there, he had to go in and talk the custom guys into giving us his suitcase. And he got it finally, and everything worked out. But all of us on the trip were a little frustrated because here this guy's leading us, and it's like he's leading us. We're scared. We're getting nervous. But I tell you what, the first night he preached, God just took, every one of us looked at each other, and we just like, okay, we understand why he's leading. God used him to preach the message and share the gospel to these people and led us through the discipleship, and we had a great trip. It was the best time, one of the best trips I've had. We went just right after, that was back after the Civil War had been finished in El Salvador. And you see soldiers walking everywhere with guns and ammo and all kinds of things going on. I thought I made a serious mistake on my exit leaving San Salvador. I had a T-shirt that said the Last Days Airborne Division. It said on it, and I thought, oh, I got to the airport, and I looked down, and I thought, oh, my gosh, they're going to search every piece of my luggage and every part of me to let me out of the country. And another guy, Terry, was with me, and he was a pretty big guy. We both kind of looked military, and when we got to the gate, we started unzipping in our bags, and the guy behind the deal came over and said, no, you go. I don't know if he read the Airborne Division and figured I was maybe military, and we looked military. He just led us on through, and you know, God kind of covered that and took care of me and protected me. The other four guys on our team, they went through every bit of their luggage, so it was like God just kind of protected me. I thought, oh, man, this is great. So I just ask you to think about it. In the next chapter in Matthew 17, Peter kind of does the same thing here with the Mount of Transfiguration, and I'm not going to read this, but he opens his mouth again and says something that probably wasn't in the right time. But then also go over to John chapter 18. This is a place here real quick. I'm going to run out of time. I can see it now. John chapter 18. And I've heard this preached too, and this has always been a passage to me that just kind of talked to me in verse 10 there, John 18, 10 and 11. Some of you may know this passage, but I thought it was really appropriate. Then it said, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. And this is when the high priest came to take Jesus Christ. And he smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear, or his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So Peter again gets a little excited, a little zealous, wants to protect the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cuts off this guy's ear. And the other place in the Bible, or another place in the Bible, talks about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who was able to put that ear back on. One of the other passages, the companion passage to this. But you know, sometimes I can take this sword, do the same thing as Peter. I can be talking to somebody, I don't care who it is, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, anybody, and I can just cut their ear right off. They won't listen to the gospel. I can offend somebody, even a guy at work or whatever, offend them, and they'll never listen to it. But it takes the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to put that ear back on so that they can hear this word, they can hear the preaching of God's word. Sometimes we just have to be careful what we say, how we say things. It's taken me a long time to get to that point where I'm not so nervous of sharing the gospel with people, that I'm not afraid to listen to them, hear them, and then let the Holy Spirit guide me into some verses, some scripture, so that I can share the truth with them, and so that they'll take it and they'll listen to it. I've had it with a long time ago, a Jehovah's Witness, and we spoke and we had great conversation at my door, and finally she let me take her to Romans chapter 11, where it talks about the restoration of the nation of Israel. She had never seen that passage before. Nobody had ever showed it to her. but she allowed me to show it to her. And I don't know if anything ever happened in her life, but it allowed me to show the fact that the nation of Israel is going to be restored back to their position where they belong in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And it was a great opportunity. And I felt, you know, like, man, I was allowed to do something. So one more thing, in Matthew chapter 26, if you'll turn over there. And I know most of you have heard this one quite a few times. Matthew chapter 26 there in verse 58. I'm not going to read all the way to the end, but I want to get a gist of what's going on here. With Peter denies the Lord Jesus Christ, he does it three times. In verse 57, verse 57, and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. So you get the idea that they're going to crucify Christ. At the end here, you've got these three times. In verse 69, it says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not this what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crow. And I don't know if you've ever denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any knowledge of anybody in here, but I know for myself, before I got saved, I denied who Jesus Christ was. I didn't want to admit that he was worth anything. But as I was preparing this, God kind of reminded me of some times in my life where I remember denying the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time back, I was a truck driver for 25 years for Associated Grocers, and as clear as day, I'm standing in the lunchroom, and this one guy, he's a big farm boy. I'm not insulting any of your farm boys, but this guy was huge in my eyes. And the Holy Spirit just told me, he says, you need to go talk to this guy. Share the gospel with him. And man, I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I just said, no, Lord, I can't. This guy will clobber me. He'll beat me up. And a lot of the guys that were worked there at AG liked to fight. That was kind of a scenario for most of them. I knew quite a few of them, and I did get to witness to one of them. But, you know, the Lord didn't get mad at me. And obviously, the Lord let me live. I'm still alive today. But something really neat happened about 2 weeks later. I've told this story in my class and in discipleship, but about 2 weeks later, the same guy and I, we were at Sunshine Biscuit. We were picking up crackers, cookies, whatever they put on our truck. And the guys on the dock quit loading our trucks, and they went to lunch. And he walked over and said, hey, you want to go to lunch? We could go upstairs, and we could sit down in the cafeteria and eat. So I said, sure, why not? So we get upstairs, and we're sitting there. We got our food, and we're sitting there talking. And he says, you go to church, don't you? And I said, yeah. He says, can you tell me about this Jesus guy? I'm like, you know, okay, Lord. And I just knew, you know, God had orchestrated that whole thing. But I think about, you know, myself as far as denying the Lord Jesus Christ. When I don't go out on taking it to the street, it's an opportunity for me to share the Lord Jesus Christ. And I deny him that if I don't go. If I'm not here on a Sunday, when I ought to be here Sunday. I've been gone for about a month now. My wife and I went and visited our kids and my mom and my brothers, and I've been away from here, and I tell you what, I really miss you guys. And not only that, but I just like the fellowship, like James was saying earlier, and I feel like I deny the Lord Jesus Christ if I'm not here and being a part of it. I miss out, and I think Christ misses out, and I deny him that opportunity to be here with you guys. And you don't know how, I know Brian and all of us, the pastoral team, we really enjoy being here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't, I'm sure. But God has put us here, brought us together, and put us together so that we can follow him. And that was kind of my main part of this message was, who are we following? Are you here because the Lord Jesus Christ asked you to be here? I mean, every time you come on a Sunday and you participate in this worship, you're giving the Lord Jesus Christ glory. You're glorifying him and saying, hey, he is my Savior. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that I'm following. You're not here because of Brian. You're not here because of me, I hope, or Randy or anybody else. You're here because you know you need to be here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we should be following. And the last part of this message that I wanted to get to real quick, back there in John chapter 21. Hopefully this will come close to finishing up. John chapter 21 and in verse 18 there. I wanted to tie these two together because Peter, his focus was on, when you look at there in verse 21, it's Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? He's talking about John, and he's more focused on what John's doing than what God's doing in his life. And he says, hey, and I like verse 22, when it's Jesus said on him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And Lord saying, hey, don't worry about these other people. You do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to follow me, right? We should follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, I'm going to tie this in with Lauren just a little bit. I hope she doesn't mind. But in verse 18, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And this verse has been on my heart for a long time. You know, I think we got a little bit backwards in this country. We wait till we retire to go around the world and do things. I like the fact that Lauren's young, and she is going where God would have her to go. And I know it's hard to do in the way our society is set up. We don't do that. We're encouraged to get a job, get an education, and go to work and work yourself to death for 20 or 30 years, and then you retire, and then you can't go nowhere because you're so old you can't move. It's just the way it is. I worked as a truck driver for 25 years, and it was a good job. I enjoyed it. I watched a lot of guys retire. I watched them leave, and within 2 or 3 years, they passed away. And I thought, man, Lord, that's just not the way to do it. It's just wrong. And I think we have it backwards. You know, you get older, and what happens? Well, things start breaking. Your knees need to be replaced. You lose parts of your body. You can't do anything. I can hardly bend over anymore. I mean, it's getting harder and harder. I can feel that I used to be able to take, I don't know, a lot of you guys know what it is, but the rear end that goes underneath your car. I had an old car, and I blew the rear end out of it racing it one time. And my dad had a gas station. I could put it up the car up on a rack, so I took the other rear end out. I used to be able to lift that thing up and put it up in there without any trouble as a young man. I was 16, 17 years old. I could pick that thing up all by myself. I didn't need any help. I am not doing that today. It's not easy. You know, why do we wait until we're 50, 60, 70 years old and all of a sudden have the desire to go to the mission field and follow the Lord? Why not do it while you're young? Lauren, I applaud you because, man, that is the greatest thing to do. You young folks, if you're young, my class tells me I'm still young. So if you're young, you need to go. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to go where he takes you to go. Take the time to learn the Word of God, get discipled, and then go where God wants you to go. And it may be just for 3 or 4 months, 6 months, but Lauren's never going to forget what happened. She's never going to forget what God did. She'll always remember that. Every mission trip I've ever been on in my life, I'm fortunate I've been able to travel. I was born out of this country. I wasn't born here in the United States. My dad was military. I've been all over the United States and Alaska and Canada, Mexico, everywhere. But after I got saved, I had a purpose to go, and a lot of it was with discipleship. My first trip was to the Philippines. I can't remember how old I was at that time, 30 years old, or no, I was younger, older than that, probably 35 or 36. But I was able to go, and I had, I mean, God just, it was a fantastic time, and enjoyed it. My wife wanted to go, but she just couldn't go because she had to take care of the kids, and God didn't provide us enough money to go do that. But she was able to stay home, and I was blessed with her staying home and taking care of the kids. But when you're young and you're not attached, you don't have a husband or a wife, it's so much easier to get up and just go and let the Lord take you where he would take you and do what he would have you to do. I just encourage you, if you're a young man, young lady, even your teenagers, if there's any in here, I don't know if I see any. Yeah, there's a few back there. Learn the Word of God. Get discipled. And start following the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Peter said, or as Peter was told to do here, follow thou me. Now, don't worry about the other guy. I mean, it's kind of neat here. If John, if it is what's said here about John, I mean, the Lord says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? I mean, I just think about this in my head sometimes. I mean, John could still be alive today because the Lord hasn't come back yet. If that's true, I mean, that probably didn't happen, but I'm just saying it's possible. If God wants somebody to live forever, there have been, you know, we've lost some great men in our church, Walt Cundiff, Joe Sparks, Carl Hatfield, John Blaine. I think if we asked each and every one of them what we should do, they should say, they probably would tell us, you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as soon as you can. Don't wait till you're old. Don't wait till it's too hard to move. Don't wait till you can't go. Just because somebody says, well, you don't have the money, Lauren will tell you, hey, the money's not always the problem. God will supply. God will take care of that. You go where God would have you to go. So I just say, what's the upside? And I got to wind this up real quick. The upside, once Peter started following the Lord Jesus Christ, and you look into the book of Acts, if you want to turn over to Acts chapter 3, evidently Peter started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you find several places in here. I just encourage you, God will take care of you. He'll guide you. He'll follow you. If you follow him, you go where he wants you to go. He's going to protect you and take care of you. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 there, it says, now Peter and John, it's Peter and John, they're together. He says, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he's right on the target here. He knew exactly what to do. Again, in chapter 4, verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, you ought to underline that part. Every one of us, as far as I know in the Bible, we're unlearned and we're ignorant of what God's doing and we're ignorant of what he's wanting to do. And Peter and John, they marveled. These guys who are starting to preach the gospel. I am always amazed at what God does with people. There are just so many stories. I can't even think of half of them at the time. But God will take you, no matter what you know, what you don't know. It doesn't matter. I was a high school graduate, as some people would say, just a dumb truck driver. And I just got saved. Went through a pretty horrible part of my life and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just started going, started following. And God changed my life and brought me to this point simply because I was willing to say, Lord, use me, do whatever you want. And I would ask that of any of you. I don't care what your age is. I don't think the Lord cares either. Then also in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, real quick, this will be the last one. And here again, in verse 13, and then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So here again, Peter and John, they're together. Peter's no longer looking at John and seeing John laying his head on the breast of Jesus, listening to his heartbeat. And that's where every one of us ought to be. We ought to be taking this word. I mean, quite honestly and figuratively, you just take it and listen. Let God talk to you. Read it and let him speak and listen and believe what it says. That's really the simple part of it. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brethren or brother that walketh disorderly, and not with the tradition which he received of us." And in verse 7, he says, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought labor and travailed night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." Every one of us is following somebody, quite honestly, we are. If we're following somebody, we ought to be following somebody that's following the Lord Jesus Christ. More than anything else, you ought to be watching that person that you're following, that's leading you, and if they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, get in and follow them. One other thing that I've learned in my life since I've gotten saved is follow the ones that are following the Lord, and then learn from their example. Learn how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ through them. And in 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." He says, follow them that call on the Lord, out of a pure heart. We ought to follow those ones that are falling out of a pure heart. It's hard sometimes to figure out who's following the Lord Jesus Christ, who's following his heart. Every day you see somebody that's followed somebody that's not following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not following his heart. They're not listening to the truth of the Word of God. A lot of you older folks remember Jim Jones, who misled several hundred people down to Central America somewhere, I believe it was Central America, if I'm right, and they all drank the poison, they all died, most all of them died, and I watched a documentary on it, and this guy deceived them into thinking he was the Lord Jesus Christ. So who are you following? Hopefully we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully today I would ask that you examine yourself, look at yourself, look at your heart, look at what's going on in your life if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head and must pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you.